Okay, we are in Perek Vav in Shoftim, and we began Perek Vav last week, last week, and I want to pick it up from Gideon's being charged with his mission to save Bnei Israel, to be the Moshiach, the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael. So I want to read these psukim together, and then take a look, try to see if we can answer some questions and suggest some insight into this parak. We're going to start with Pasuk. Let's start with Pasuk 20. Vayomer elav malach Elokim. Malach Elokim says to Gideon, Kach es habasar v'samatzos v'hanach es hasela halaz v'samarach shfoch. Everybody have it? We're not getting to the sheets just yet. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the matzahs, place them on that rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. The angel of Hashem stretched out the edge of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the matzahs. A flame went up from the rock and consumed the meat and the matzahs. And then the angel of Hashem left from before his eyes. Gideon realized, Vayomer Gideon, Aha, Hashem Elokim, Ki Alkein, Ra'isi, Malach Hashem. We're all here together. So we're all here together. Okay. Ki Alkein, Ra'isi, Malach Hashem, Panim El Panim. That Gideon realizes that they're in fact, this was a Malach Hashem. Okay. Vayomer Lo Hashem, Shalom Lach, Al Tira Lo Tamus. And he says, and Hashem says to him, peace be upon you, don't be afraid, you will not die. Okay, all well and good. Pasuk 25. Vayhi balayla hahu. And it was on that day. Vayomer lo Hashem, and Hashem says to him, kach es para shor asher lavicha. He says to him, take par hashor, which is in your which belongs to your father, upar hasheni shava shanim, and a second par, which is 7 years old, v'harastas mizbach habal asher lavicha v'sashera asher lav tichros, and you should take all of this, you should break apart the mizbeach that belongs to the Baal, and cut down the Asherah tree that is near it, and then uvanisa mizbeach l'Hashem, build a mizbeach to Hashem al rosh hamaoz hazeh b'ma'aracha, v'lakachtas aparasheni v'alisa olah batzei Asherah asher tichros. So it says, build the altar, and then build an altar atop of the one which you destroyed. Take the second bull and offer it up as a carbon, using the wood of the Asherah tree that you will cut down. So in other words, what Hashem is telling him is that he should basically subvert any presence of Avodah Zarah in the and make a public stance against the Avodah Zarah. Take the Mizbeach, destroy it, cut down the Asherah tree, take an animal and offer it to Hashem.
Was the Asherah tree part of the Avodah Zarah worship?
Apparently. Vayikach Gideon Asara Nashim. Gideon takes 10 men. Ayask Asher Dibar Lav Hashem, and he does as Hashem commanded him. Vayikach Asher Yareis Beis Aviv Esanchei Ha'ir Me'asos Yomam Vayas Laila. But he was afraid to do it by day because of his father's household and the people of his city. So he did it at night. Okay? So he did this display of this anti-Avodah Zarah display. He did it at night because he was afraid to do it publicly during the day. And the people got up in the morning. Hinenu tatz mizbach habal, and the mizbeach of the Baal was destroyed. V'asher asher alav korasa, and the asherah was cut down. It's a parasheni hu'alal mizbeach habanoi, and then this second par was that we spoke about was actually on the new mizbeach that was built. Ayom rishal reyehu, and the people said to their neighbors, mi asa davar hazeh, who did this wicked thing? I mean, I inserted the word wicked, but who did this terrible thing? Vayidrushu Vayibakshu, and they investigated and they found out. Vayom, and they inquired. Vayomru Gidon ben Yoash asah es hadavar hazeh. It's Gidon ben Yoash. Vayomru anshei ha'ir el Yoash, and the people of the city said to Yoash, "Take your son out. We're going to kill him." Kinatatzis mizbach habal, because he destroyed the mizbeach of the Baal. V'chicharas ha'asherah asher alav, and that he cut down the asherah upon it. So you just like sort of see how far Klal Yisrael has sunk, that you know Avodah Zarah is considered one of the top three things, to one of the big three averas for which a Jew gives up their life rather than violate it. And here you have his his co-religionists basically giving him a death penalty for destroying Avodah Zarah. I mean, it's like a total subversion of reality as it should be. Vayomer Yoash. And Yoash says to everybody who's standing there, "Hatemti rivun labal imatemto shiunoso asher yariv lo yumasa daboker imalohimu yirev lo kinatatz mizbecho." In other words, he said to him, "You know, you're gonna fight on behalf of the Baal. If he's a god, he'll fight for himself. And if he's not, what are you fighting for?" So, "Vayikralo bayomahu yirubal leimor yirev bo habal kinatatz mizbecho." On that day, Yoash named him Yerubal, saying, "Let Baal take up the grievance against him for breaking its altar." Okay, so we have here a sort of an interesting development, which we see with Gidon. Originally, Hashem told Gidon through the Malach that he's going to be he's going to be the messenger. And what was Gidon's response? Remembers what was Gidon's response? What?
He was stuck with Moses.
Right. So basically, he demands a miracle. Right. He wants to see something. He wants some proof of it. So the angel shows him. You know, he burns up the thing, and so he has his proof. Okay. Yeah. What do you want to say?
I was thinking about it over the week, that when he was asking where all the miracles, he did miracles in the past, but you didn't do it now. And I was thinking how in the past, when we were talking back in Yahushua, that the people were no longer supposed to be expecting miracles, but they were supposed to be doing it for themselves.
Right.
And they never seemed to have incorporated that concept that they were responsible.
The self-responsibility, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So... So let's read a little further. V'chol Midyan v'Amalek u'bnei Kedem nesfu yachdav. Pasuk 33, all Midyan and Amalek and the people of these gathered together. They crossed the Jordan and encamped the valley of Israel, and the spirit of Hashem clothed Gidon. He blew the shofar, vayitka b'shofar, vayizaek Aviezer acharav. He blew the shofar, and the family of Aviezer was mustered after him. He sent messengers throughout Menashe, gathered up people, sent messengers throughout Asher, Zvulun, Naphtali. Very nice. Vayomer Gidon el Elohim, and Gidon says to Hashem, "Im yeshcha Moshia biadias Yisrael kasher dibarta, if you wish to save the Jewish people through my hand, hine anochi matzig es gizas hatzemer bakoren. Behold, I'm spreading out the fleece of wool on the threshing floor. Im tal yihye al hagiza levada v'al kol haaretz chorev v'yadati ki soshia biadias Yisrael kasher dibarta." So if you if you make this miracle where dew will only be on the fleece and the ground will be dry, then I will know that you will help Israel through my hand, right? Vayichen, and that's what happened. Vayashkei mimacharas vayazer sagitza vayimetz talmin agiza melo asefo mayim. He got up in the morning. And he squeezed out the fleece, and he pressed the dew from the fleece, and a full bowl of water came out. So here we have our second sort of test, if you will.
He's testing
Hashem, right? Yeah. right. So second test. So that should be, I think, a good number of tests. But apparently, it's insufficient. Pasuk Lamed test 39. Vayomer Gidon. Gidon says to God, Al yichar apcha api vadabera achapam. Hope you're not going to take this the wrong way, but you know, don't get upset at me. But I have one little itty bitty thing I want to ask you, and that is, anase na rak hapam bagiza. I want to do one more test here, and this time, let there be dryness only on the fleece, and let there be dew on the ground. Yina chorev al giza levada al kol haaretz yetal. Vayas Elohim came balaylahu, and indeed Hashem does so. And the fleece was dry, and the ground was entirely soaked with dew. It was wet. Okay, so we have our three tests, and each one of them apparently God passes. Okay. Well, it does seem a little odd. Vayashkem Yerubal hu Gidon. Gidon gets up in the morning. V'chol am asher ito v'yachanu al Ein Charod, and they encamp by Ein Charod. U'machaneh midyan hayalom mitzafon migivat hamorek ba'emek. And the camp of Midian was to his north from the hill of Moreh in the valley. Hashem says to Gidon, the people that are with you are too numerous for me to deliver into their hands, lest Israel aggrandize itself over me, saying, my own strength has saved me. In other words, there were too many people that it would be easy for the Klal Yisrael to say, Kochi va'otzem yadi, we did it on our own. V'yata, so therefore he says, Krana bazne'am le'mor, mi'arei v'chared yashovi etzpor me'hara gilad. Say to the people, whoever fears and trembles, let them turn back and go back to Har Gilad. 22,000 people flew the coop, right? Tzipor, but Yitzpor. The Asere Salafim Nisharu, and 10,000 remained. Yomer Hashem al Gidon. Hashem says to Gidon, Od Ha'am Rav, still too many. Hored Osam Alamayim, Vatzarfenu Lachasham. I'll bring them down to the water and we'll purge them there. Whoever will go down with you to the whoever will say this one shall go with you, he shall go with you, and whoever I say to you this one shall not go with you, shall not go with you. So what's going on here? Vayored ha'amel ha'mayim, he brought the people down to the water. Vayomer Hashem el Gidon, kol asher yalok bilshono min ha'mayim kasher yalok ha'kelev tatzigo to levad, kol asher yikral birkav lishtos. Meaning, everyone who laps up the water with his tongue as a dog laps, stand him apart, and everyone who kneels on his knees to drink. So which one is staying and which one is going?
The one that basically water from his hands up hands to his mouth.
And why is that?
This one, to be on a practical reason, is that then you're not that attentive to what's going on around you, so you're totally involved in the physical, in the water. And then also, I think there's a reference to Avodah Zarah.
Spiritual,
yeah.
I thought that calling them like a kelev is pretty insulting.
Right.
In its own right. Insulting them further.
Right. But in fact, it is the dog lickers that stay and the other people that go.
Different times.
Right. Vayomer Hashem el Gidon, kol asher yilok bilshono min ha'mayim, kasher yilok ha'kelev. He's the person that will stay. V'chol asher yichra al birkav, whoever will kneel down, that person to drink, that person will, those will depart. Vayam yispar malakakim bi'adam, those who bring up the water, shalosh me'otish is 300, and the rest of the people who kneel down on their knees, they to drink water. The rest of them, they're to depart. With these 300, I'm going to save you. Everybody else, go home. What were you saying? Out of an original 32,000. So originally 32,000, 22,000 left, 10,000, and 300. So really winnowed it down. One second. What were you saying, Helen?
Rashi said here that those who knelt, it was like saying they typically knelt down to idols. So that was
right. There's a simon that these are sort of
right,
common idol worshippers.
If they would have done it with the 32,000 as opposed to the 132,000 of the Midianites, then if they won, they can say, yeah, God may have had a minimal amount of involvement, but it was us that really won.
Right. At so 300, nobody can say it's us.
No, that it's beyond repute,
right.
That there was something beyond
us. This is when the doctor says there's nothing more we can do. And then the person is healed.
And also Gideon also follows the protocol that Moses did, I think, in Deuteronomy, I think, chapter 20, about giving exemptions for people to go into war.
Right.
There's a parallel there, too.
Right. Okay, so far we have the original sign that Hashem says by burning up the stuff on the Mizbeach. Then we have making the wool, the wool wet and the land dry, and then the wool dry and the land wet. Those two, and now we have, and now we have Hashem saying that giving these criteria for figuring out who's going to stay, and the purpose of doing so is in order to make it clear that it's Hashem who's involved. It's a little strange because Hashem already gave three significant simanim.
That was the Gideon. This is supposed to be the rank and file.
Okay, so let's take it. So the first three are for. Are for Gideon, right? Right? And this one now, I don't know if it's about giving confidence, but it's about, it's not about giving confidence.
What, to Gideon?
To leave 300 people?
No, I'm
sorry, to Gideon. Yeah, okay. All right, and now we have one more. Love Hashem, kum reid b'machane ki nosati biyadecha. Number 9. It happened that night that Hashem said to him, arise and descend into the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you're afraid to descend, go down to the camp, you and Purah, your attendant. Listen to what they will speak. Then your hands will be strengthened. Techazakna yedchem. Techazakna yadecha. V'yaradita b'machanecha. V'yeredhu Purah na'aro. Purah and he go down to the camp. Umidyan v'amalek. V'chol b'nei kedem noflim v'amalek. Be'emek. And all the enemy soldiers and armies are gathering and milling about. They have camels beyond count. Kachol she'al svas hayam larov, like the sands of the seashore. So Gideon arrives. Ayava Gideon v'nei ish misaper l're'ehu chalom. And I guess he's maybe in a marketplace or something. Yeah, he's listening to the scuttlebutt, and he hears one person relating a dream he has to his friend. What's the dream? Vayomer, hinei chalom chalamti v'hinei tzlil lechem se'orim mitapech b'machaneh Midyan, vayavoad ha'ohel vayakev vayipol vayafcheu lemala v'nafal ha'ohel. Behold, I dreamt a dream. Behold, a roasted barley bread was rolling in the Midianite camp. It came to the tent and struck it, and it fell. It turned upside down, and the tent fell. That was what he saw in his dream. His friend said to him, Ayan Riehu Vayomer, Ain Zos Biltim Cherev Gideon Ben Yoash Ish Israel, Nasan Elohim Biadoes Midyan Vizkol HaMachaneh. So this, I guess, Midianite or Canaanite, talking to his fellow soldier, says, in his dream, there's a barley bean, right? That destroys the whole tent. So his friend says to him, that's Gideon. So based on that, so now Vayomer, Vayikishmoa Gideon 15. Now Gideon hears this, the one friend telling the other friend, Vayashav Machane So Vayomer Kumu Kinasana Shambiat Chemis Machane Midyan. And now Gideon goes back and he says, aha, Hashem is with us. Not right, right.
Interesting.
That's what it's at. Like, this seems to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. When Hashem burns up the Mizbeach, that doesn't seem to be the clincher. When the wool going dry or the wool going wet, neither of those are sufficient. Hashem telling him to winnow it down to 300 people maybe is an act of confidence. In other words, assuming that Gideon believes that he's in communication with Hashem, right? right? He's in communication with Hashem. He's not in communication with, you know, with a fantasy. So he's talking to Hashem, and Hashem says to him, winnow it down to 300 people. What's Hashem telling Gideon? Hashem is telling Gideon that you are so extraordinarily powerful, right? You're only going to need 300 people. And that doesn't seem to convince him. But what really does the trick is when he hears what?
What, the dream?
Hello.
He doesn't actually hear the dream.
He overhears
the interpretation.
Repetition of one Midianite, presumably one Midianite telling another Midianite the dream.
But what's the symbolism of that dream?
Well, the question of what's the symbolism of all these things, the wool, the dew, the this, that. But I'm looking at it from a meta perspective for a second. The guy tells him what the symbolism is. He says that the kernel of barley will overturn the whole tent. Is Gideon destroying, all the Midianites? So, in other words, it seems a little odd here that Gideon is seems to only be swayed when he hears one Midianite talking to another Midianite.
But he started off saying, right, he was saying in the beginning, who am I? I'm this mere guy, you know, I do this work, you know, grinding the flour or whatever, and I'm the youngest son, I'm nobody. Now he's hearing that in this huge camp, his name is mentioned. Where would his name all of a sudden become so important unless God is making him very important to the enemy?
Right. So this is yet another sign. Right, so this is another sign, right? That so this is a sign. So now he believes. Now he has proof. In other words, now this is a stronger sign than the other simanim were.
The other things, I mean, to a certain extent, not to put it that way, but when we go back to Mitzrayim and the Chartumim, Moshe did nisim. They did nisim with the snakes, with, you know, whatever, back and forth. So something like this, I was thinking the dew and all of that, that's, you know, might seem to somebody like sorcery.
Right.
But here we're talking about a huge camp of people, and they're talking about him. You know, this, like, nobody person who Hashem said, I will make you into the savior.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, but
right.
Also, like, Gideon is also from the tribe of Benjamin, from the smallest tribe, and also from a very, you know, insignificant family of Benjamin. So it's like the lowest of the low that right. he's picked him to lead Israel.
Right. So I think going back to what we spoke about last week and the week before about all these comparisons back to Moshe Rabbeinu Yetzias Mitzrayim, so here he gets these signs, just like Moshe got signs, and when the signs were tested, so the Chartumim basically equaled, and they said, it's not such a big deal. Now, and then, you know, Hashem ultimately brings the signs that the simanim that are overpowering. If that is the case, who is Gideon paralleling in the story of Mitzrayim? Is he paralleling Moshe?
Paro got stopped believing.
Right. In other words, Gideon is not parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu, who, you know, had unswavering belief. He didn't say, I don't believe you. At best, or at worst, is like, what if the people don't believe me? But here, it seems like Gideon is not. Does not seem to be speaking on behalf of the disbelief of the people, but perhaps demonstrating his own, you know, his own issue. And it goes right. And if you look at all of these, as a pattern together, the story at the beginning all of a sudden I think makes a lot of sense. What's the very first story? Let's go back to the beginning of Vav, right? Where, not the beginning of Vav, but the beginning of Gideon in Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Malach comes to Gideon. Gideon is threshing wheat on the threshing floor. And Vayera Alav Malach Hashem. And he says, and Gideon says to him, you know, where are all the wonders? Remember from Mitzrayim. Vayifed elav Hashem, and Hashem says to him, pasuk 11, 12, 13, and Vayomer elav Gideon. Gideon says to him, V'yesh Hashem imanu v'lama mitzasanu kol zos aye kol nifla osav. Pasuk 14, Vayifed elav Hashem. Hashem turns to him, and he says, "Hoshata es Yisrael mikaf midyan. You're gonna do the job." Yomer love be Adoni ba ma'oshias Yisrael. How, you know, with what am I going to do it? Anochi atzair bevesavi. I'm the youngest of my family. I'm a nobody. Yomer love Hashem. I will be with you. Yomer love, and he says, "Namatasichem beinecha. Do me a favor. Make me a sign." And then. Vegidon ba vayaskidi zim vefas kemach veyotzei lav l'tachas elan, and the signs begin. So here you have Gideon, you know, sort of requesting the sign, and apparently not being entirely satisfied with it. So when he is told, I'm sending you on your mission, go and destroy the idols. When does he destroy the idols? At night or during the day? At nighttime, right? When nobody would see him. Now, ultimately, he, you know, the people come and they find him, and so he's testing Hashem in all these ways to sort of. Determined that Hashem is going to be with him. Hashem gives him one test. Does he pass the test or does he fail the test? And what was the purpose of the test? So, you can't say that he failed the test. He did what he said, but you can't say really passed the test because he did it at nighttime. And if the... What? Oh, one second. He says, Vayomer Yoash to... Where is it? Chafei? Vahi balailahu vayomer l'Hashem kach es parashor asher l'avicha parashini harastes mizbacha bal asher l'avicha uvanisa mizbeach v'lakach tesapar v'ikach gidon v'yask asher diber l'av Hashem v'hi kasher yarei es beis aviv me'asos yomam v'yas laila. Doesn't sound like from the internal description of the pasuk that doing it at nighttime was part of the command. At nighttime was that's when the command was given. But it doesn't seem that doing it at nighttime was representation of Gideon's fear. And if Gideon was indeed afraid, then that shows a little bit of a hesitancy of a emunah issue. Would you want to say, Shifra?
But he didn't want confrontation. Right.
What?
In daytime, the people would worship. He didn't want confrontation.
He didn't want confrontation. So, what was the purpose? What was the purpose of this? What was the purpose of? What you call it? What was the purpose of this test? To demonstrate that Gideon what? The purpose of the test was to demonstrate that Gideon was loyal to Hashem and not overturning Avodah Zarah and doing all that. Are we all agreed that that's the purpose of the?
Yeah.
All right. So I disagree. All right.
You're in
the minority. Right, so I'm in the minority. So I think that might be part of the test, but I don't think that that was really the test at all.
It's a test that he doesn't believe.
So I don't think that this is a test about his belief. I don't think it's a test about his belief. I think it's a test about something else. We said that there were some references here to Pesach, right? Or potentially to Pesach. Pasuk 19, V'gidon ba v'ayaz gedi izim, efas kemach matzos habasar, right? They have matzos and meat. Sounds like it's Pesach, right? So Rashi, in fact, Sayni Chazal says that's our tradition, that this happened. read Rashi for you. Rashi says, what's the pasuk? Pasuk 19? Sorry. Yeah. So it's not a long Rashi, but I just want to read it inside. It's four words. Okay. Here, Rashi says, Kemach matzos, lamadnu, shepesach haya yom tenufasa omer, lekach nemar, vinetz lelechem, seorim mitafech. That we learned that it was Pesach. Yom tenufasa omer. That's the day after the Seder. So Rashi is not saying this on his own. He's citing Chazal. There are other that make this point. Now, in fact, it's in one of the piyutim, I think, on Pesach that connects that makes the point that this event happens on the night after. I think the night after Leil Pesach. Point of the matter is, or maybe Leil Pesach itself. But the point of the matter is that. The rabbis are clearly drawing a connection between this and Pesach. And it wouldn't be crazy to do so, right? We have Moshe Rabbeinu parallels. We have the Osos parallels. We have the Moshiach parallels. We have, the whole story of Gideon sort of reenacting Moshe Rabbeinu's redeeming the Jews from Egypt, so it would make sense to connect this to the story of Pesach. But when
I see, that God was testing Gideon, but what about his recruits? And nowhere in the verses do I see how the recruits were tested, that they too had faith in God. It seemed to be that basically everybody was following Avodah Zarah. So how do
okay. Good question. But back to this to this essential question is, what was the purpose of that test that Hashem gave Gideon? So I don't think it's about testing his emunah and Hashem per se. Maybe part of it, but I think that there's something bigger here going on. And this connects us really back to Pesach. So you have in front of you a page from the Haggadah. It's actually from the end of the Haggadah, from the Chag Gadya. One second.
Well, the people did take the goat or the lamb or whatever, and they took it over like it was a whole Shabbat, right? And it was like right like in the face of the Egyptians. So,
what?
Right. They don't mind.
Too tired.
Not sure what happened to all the Haggadahs here, but I just need one for our purposes. So, the end of the Haggadah. Right, just to get everybody a little nervous, the Pesach is coming in 4 months. Right,
it's less than 4 months.
Okay. Okay, so in Chag Gadya is this poem, right? One little goat. My father bought two zuzim. Goat for two zuzim. Chag Gadya, Chag Gadya. So it goes back and forth here. We're going to read the last one here, which you have it on your page. No, you don't. V'yasa shunra, v'yasa kadosh baruch hu v'shachat l'malach hamaves. Hashem came, and he slew the angel of death that killed the shochet, that slaughtered the ox, that drank the water, that quenched the fire, that burned the stick, that beat the dog, that bit the cat, that ate the goat, that my father bought for two zuzim. So, Bnei Yisrael in this poem is the goat, right? And there's a famous question: how do you actually understand this? Because if you go back and forth, so if the goat is the Jewish people and the shunra bit the goat, so the shunra is bad. The kelev. The kelev bites the cat, so the kelev is good, right? So the saraf lachutra is bad, kava lanura is good, shasa lamaya is bad, shachat latorah is good, shachat lashochet is bad, shachat lamal chamavis is good, Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu turns out to be, you know, Chas V'Chelil, let's say, turns out not to be the good guy.
You vanquish the ultimate bad.
Well, no, the if you go right.
I know, but if you're going that, but what's left at the end is just Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He vanquished the ultimate bad.
V'shachat l'malach hamavet is good.
Right.
I'm saying the not v'shachat. I'm sorry. The malach hamavet is good.
Oh.
The Gadya is good, the Shunra is bad, the Kalba is good, the Chutra is bad, the Nura is good, the Maya is bad, the Torah is good, the Shochet is bad, Malach HaMavis is good.
Oh,
you don't
bad.
Have to do
so,
that.
What?
You don't have to do that.
You don't have to do what?
Say it's good and bad. You say, it's just the natural string of power. It's not, you
right,
know,
but the metaphor here is that you have an innocent Gedi that has been... we're talking about it in the context of Pesach,
but,
right?
But even so the water is bad. Why is the water bad?
Well, but it's not inherently bad in the context of taking...
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right. In other words, if the Gadya is
no,
the
I hear,
victim,
I hear
if the Gadya is the victim...
I'm just saying you don't have to look at it that way. I didn't...
So, right, but then you need an entirely different interpretation of the poem. But if you assume that the poem is about the victim that was the Gedi is the victim that was shechted, right?
Okay.
Or that was hurt or was sold or was bought, whatever. So who did it to the Gedi? The Shunra did it to the Gedi. The Shunra ate the Gedi.
Okay.
So the Kalba comes and...
I understand. So you could...
What?
So you said the Gedi is B'nai Yisrael. Who's the Abba that bought for two...
Good. And all I'm saying, for my purposes, if you want to reinterpret the poem, you can reinterpret the poem as talking about something else, right?
I remember you once said that you have to say it, and I forgot why.
So we come to
okay.
Hashem is the bad guy,
right?
And we don't want to say that.
So, many of them try to give different ways of understanding the poem, other than that way.
Right.
Because if you understand it that way, it doesn't end well. So, what? It's the end of the Seder. Nobody's paying attention at that point. So take a look here in the middle of page 78. I'm sorry, page 77. Okay. So, let's see. This is very long. We don't have a... Okay, so... We're going to look at the Chagadya a little differently than simply about, you know, who's the victim and who's taking vengeance and who's meting out justice on whom. So this parish here is Rabbi Tabeli Bandi, Seder Haggadah Shel Pesach Mareches Heidenheim, published in Frankfurt in 1888. So he says the following. We're going to skip around, and hopefully I'll develop a coherent thought here without reading the whole thing. So take a look on the top of the page. It says, "Afilu kelev v'shunra defiyu minayu shelo asim b'shuk b'shineyam leinei hakol es atzmos avodazara shelachem." Oh, 1 second. I said I wanted to do a coherent thought, so hold on. All right, start from the third line here. Lama dafka in the middle. Lama dafka b'Pesach Mitzrayim tziva bikor dalad yamim. You know, we have this tradition that Shabbos Haggadah is 4 days before Pesach. And on that day, they took the lamb And then they checked it for a few days to make sure that it was appropriate for sacrificial purposes. Okay? She says, Lama dafka bepesach mitzrayim tziva bikur dalad yamim. Hatam kdei laharos lemitzrayim. The reason is to demonstrate to Mitzrayim shelokhu haseh kdei levazos havodazara shalahem. In order to demonstrate to Mitzrayim, to the Egyptians, that they took their god, right, the lamb, in order to denigrate the power of the idol, because they tied it to the bedposts. And they basically declared, in a few days, we're going to kill your god. And this idea of the 4 days investigation and checking, haya lemesiras hanefesh lekapara ba'avur sheYisrael adhena hayushtufim bavodazara. This was to give the Jewish people an opportunity to demonstrate their sacrifice, their mesiras nefesh, as an atonement for their themselves committing avodazara. And this is specifically Pesach Mitzrayim, and not all future Pesachs. Because it was that Mitzrayim of Pesach in which the Jewish people were Ovdei Avodah Zarah that they needed atonement for it. So therefore, this 4 day waiting period was to demonstrate their Mesiras Nefesh. And therefore, Bachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu litein dafka hani shtei mitzos mila v'gam Pesach, lo bachar shari mitzos huatam kidei shiyu ochaze maseh avoseam biyadeham. And they were, by doing this, both Karban Pesach and Bris Mila, we'll leave that aside for a minute, is in order to demonstrate the Jewish trait, which was handed down from Avram Avinu, of Mesiras Nefesh, sacrifice, for standing up for what is right and true, that is the one God and not Avodah Zarah. Mipnei, shekvar kibal Avram Avinu alav ashalom mitzvah smila alav al b'nei beis ovizaro. Avram Avinu already accepted mitzvah smila. Ukvar hiktim gam kein zchuso lechaper al chet Avodah Zarah bavur shemasar nafsho b'maisa nimrod. Right? This is what you mentioned last week, connecting it to the Medrash that Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu stood up against Nimrod, who was ready to put him in the Kivshana Esh, unless Avram demonstrated his loyalty to Avodah Zarah. V'chein asu banav bnei Yisrael shemalo es atzmam kulam zekenim unare mekadna magodlam masru nafsham al kedushas Hashem kidei sheyehe lahem lekapara al she'avdu Avodah Zarah v'al yedeza masru nafsham b'shchitas pischehem. So by doing this whole thing with the shchitas of Pesach was a statement of their sacrifice, their personal sacrifice. And that's why specifically the Karban Pesach is roasted on a fire to recall the Mesiras Nefesh, the sacrifice of Avram Avinu, who was thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh, Shehishlich Atzmo b'Kivshan HaEsh. So, okay, skip down. Skip down, like, two-thirds down. Amar... one, two, three, four, five, six lines from the bottom of the page. So Nimrod and Avram go through a debate back and forth. Who is the true power in the world? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. V'im nitzayach Nimrod, ana amar min Nimrod ana. Kevan she yarad Avram Avinu, alav Hashem lekivan ha'esh v'nitzel amri la demin at. So this is the famous, the famous medrash about Haran, who was standing on the sidelines and was deciding, who is he going to follow. But meanwhile, this back and forth is going on. So once Avram Avinu demonstrated his stand. His courageous stand in the face of death. So Haran chose his way. But Haran died because that wasn't real. That wasn't really emuna, right? Avram was saved because he really had emuna. And now to our point. Ubazeh often hayu gam ken atzivui libnei Yisrael limseres nafsham. And so Bnei Yisrael were given the tzivui by Pesach time to demonstrate their mesiras nefesh like Avraham Avinu. Al kein shachtu asel Pesach laharos lemitzrayim shal zeh. They wanted to demonstrate the Avodah Zarah was nothing. They threw the bones out on the street in order to make the point that the cats and the dogs are eating the bones of the Avodah Zarah, right? If Baal is God, then you don't need to fight for him. And if he's not, why are you fighting for him? They wanted to demonstrate the wastefulness of Avodah Zarah. Skip after the parentheses. Shehema chashivim Moshe ki b'yeinechem atem roem heichat samos aseh ben shineim shal shuna v'kelev. The point here was to create a situation, laser, where there would be confrontation. These 4 days was not to avoid confrontation, but to ensure confrontation. V'kach haya mitzvah b'shvil mesiras hanefesh tzrichin lashivam b'vikuach l'mitzrayim. Hashem wanted to create a confrontation where there would be debate, where there would be. Gam mitzad haseichel la'ochiach shal vodazar shalahem hevel varik b'chdei shetia mitzvah zu dogemes mesiras nefesh shal Avraham Avinu l'Hashem u'tshuvaso l'nimrod. It should just be like the debate of old between Avraham Avinu and Nimrod, and where Avraham Avinu stands up at the end and says, "I don't care," And similarly over here, that the Jewish people should be given an opportunity to debate with the Egyptians.
I just wonder, when was this in context of the Makot?
This is 4 days before Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Right.
It's before the last Makkah.
So they're still arguing with the Mitzrim.
Right.
I mean, they're still debating with the Mitzrim.
Well, yeah.
It's still before the last Makkah. Okay. Sorry for interrupting.
No, not at all. Okay. So skip to the next underlines. V'zos mirame is chad gadya. Ritzono lomar. L'chol bayis o l'chol chabura tzarech gadya. Every household needs a lamb. Perish. L'chad bayis gadya o l'chad chabura gadya. D'zab and abba betrei zuzei chad gadya. That the father or somebody would go to the store, to the Egyptian shaychet, and say, "I want a lamb." And then the next guy comes in and says, "I want a lamb." And then the next guy comes in and says, "I want a lamb." And everybody's going to say, "Why are these Jews buying these lambs?" Avoseinu b'Mitzrayim nikru b'shem Abba ki hagadol shebabayis o hagadol shebechabura zavan b'zol gadol b'treizuze gadya v'lama machru lahem haMitzrim b'zol gadol. Why did the Egyptians sell it for so cheap? Shoshalo Amr LeMitzrim, they didn't actually tell them that they were buying it for the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. L'stam Amr LeMitzrim, chad gadya anu lochem. V'hayu haMitzrim toim b'hem shesavru shelochem ha-Yisraelim haseh b'shvil shemodim la'avodah zarah shelahem. So the Mitzrim thought they were buying it because they converted, right? So this is the opposite of a bait and switch. Usually, bait and switch is the seller baits you and then switches. Over here, the buyers were baiting and then going to switch. Alkein mochel lavazel achar kach masiras nafsham. But after this, because had they told them, would the Egyptians have sold them the gadyas? No, they wouldn't have sold it to them. So they didn't say anything. They didn't say one way or the other. They let them live in their own fantasy, where they believed that most likely the Jews were switching teams. Achar kach masiras nafsham. But then they were moser nefesh. Shachtu asav zarkim atzamos b'shvakim over erechovas, and they threw it in the streets so that the klavim and the chatulim would come and the meat would be between their teeth. And this would then engender debate with the Egyptians. V'yamru l'mitzrim, mutim atem, ki chashavtem shanu lochem hasel avodah zarah, eich afshar lahamin b'avodah zarah shalachem, sh'atem roim Eloheichem, shchutim v'atzamos mehem b'fi ashunra, u'beinechem atem roim afilu shunra adif me'avodah zarah shalachem, imkein tvei naskid, So the way he looks at Chad Gadya is really, it's the story of this theological debate between the Mitzrim and the Jews, starting off where they're buying the, you know, the Gedi, and then they put it in the street for the cat and the dog to, you know, to eat it. And then a debate ensues between the Mitzrim and the and Bnei Yisrael, and that goes back the Kalba, the Shun, all the various pieces, what each one represents, the Chutra, the Nura, the Mayel, the Torah, the Shochet, ultimately, Hashem. But in that interpretation, it's not about who's meeting out justice on whom; it's about who is, you know, about Hashem being the one and only, and not the Chad Gadya. Why am I mentioning this whole thing? Because let's go back to Shoftim, right? So the rabbis tell us that Rashi cites that this happened. This story here of Gidon, right, happens on Pesach. What does he tell Gidon to do? He tells Gidon, go and break, destroy the mizbeach, and then take an animal, a kosher animal, and put it and make a carbon to Hashem. What was this test? Was this test to see if he believed? No, I don't think that's what the test. Maybe in part, but I think what the real test was that he wanted Gidon to engage in a confrontation, to trigger a confrontation. And that's what he wanted to accomplish. By triggering the confrontation, that allows for, you know, that allows for a changing of the minds. And so in a certain, what? But then he did it at night. But then
so
he did it
probably
at night.
Didn't pass the test.
So in a certain sense, he, you know, but in the end, you know, they find him out, and his father speaks on his behalf, and his father says, you know, and he sort of deflects and so on. So on one level, yes, but on another level, sort of misses the mark, and that really explains then I think all the osos after that. Because Gidon is sort of almost there, but not quite there. And he asks for this sign, and then he asks for that sign, and then Hashem gives him a third sign, and then he hears the two Midyanim.
I hear it just very generally, yeah. Like, you know, he didn't trust his own God, he didn't trust his own people, but
he trusts the Goyim.
He hears it on the street from somebody,
right,
that's good, that
right,
works.
Right, it's right. What did Groucho Marx say? I would never join a club that would have me as a member, right?
Right.
So, in a more nuanced way, sort of the same thing. When he heard it, you know, from the Midyanim, then all of a sudden, you know, that, right. And that sort of indicates a little bit that, well, you know, this is where Bnei Yisrael is, and Gidon is the big shofet, and he's the big savior,
he's the good one,
and he's sort of the best of the best, as it were, and if this is the best of the best, then maybe this is the strongest argument for why we need a melucha, and we have to. And why the period of the Shoftim cannot sustain. So, okay, we'll pause here.